we call churches of the world. And I've got a little poem I'm going to read you tonight about some of the churches. Some of you have heard it before, I don't know, maybe all of you have. I'm going to read it again and make a few comments on it. It says, there was a church in our town, and it was worldly wise. It tried to pay the preacher by selling cakes and pies. Now, right there's one thing I want to comment on. It said, it tried to pay the preacher by selling cakes and pies. Now, if you know the scriptures, you know that when the disciples of John came to Christ and wanted to know if he was the Christ, he told them to go back and tell John what they had seen. How the blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked. He says, and the poor of the gospel preached to them. You remember over in Peter, where he tells them to take charge of the church and under what he needs. And he says, not for filthy lucre. If we go to the instance of King Benjamin, King Uzziah, they labored with their own hands for their own support. They were creatures of righteousness as well as being king over the people. Alma taught that they should not be a burden on the people, but they should work for their own support. Showing that the scriptures don't teach paying the preacher. I'll go ahead with another verse. The sisters made the ice cream to send the gospel far. They ladled out the oyster stew and raffled off a car. Now see what they're doing? There's a worldly wise church. They had a harmless game of cards to make the social pay. And then a dance for tired souls who were too tired to pray. The effort was a great success, from floor to lightning rod. The church has everything it needs, except the peace of God. Showing that while they worked and done this and done that to get money, for the gospel cause, to send the gospel far, and to pay the preacher, they had everything they needed except the peace of God. Now that's one thing I was going to try to talk a little bit about tonight. That we need is the peace of God, the love of God. We can't have the peace of God unless we have the love of God. So I'm going to turn first to Moroni, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read you a few scriptures. Maybe I won't talk as long as I could, but I'm to bring a few things to your memory. I can't bring you anything new because there is nothing new in the scriptures. But I might bring something to your memory that maybe you have forgotten. Maybe I have forgotten. This is going to be quite a little reading. I'm going to start with verse 35 in the 7th chapter of Moroni. And there's quite a little lesson in here. You it helps. Just open them to Moroni, the 7th chapter. This is on page 766. Christ hath said, if you will have faith in me, you shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. Showing that the first thing we need is to have faith in Christ. If we don't have that faith in Christ, we can't do the things that he says here are expedient in him. And he has said, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. This is going to have quite a bit in it that I'm going to read out of different places later on. But I want you to realize that what I'm trying to tell you is different things that we've got to do that we may have this peace of God or this love of God. If we don't have the things that and do the things that bring about this peace with God, we can't have his love. Did you ever see a family that there was no love between them? Consequently, no peace between them either. It's just about the same with us and with God. If we don't have any love for God, we don't have any peace with him. And if we don't have peace with him, we can't have any love with him. So we're going to have to start with faith. Of course, then comes repentance, baptism, and so on down through the different things that are in the commandments of Christ. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will shew unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true. And if they are true, has the day of miracles ceased? Or have angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or has he withheld the power of his Holy Ghost from them? Showing that if these things have ceased, there's going to be, shall I say, things not quite right. Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear unto them and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain. For if no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Showing that, again, we're getting back down to that faith, and we have to have faith in his name, or we cannot be saved. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also, and awful is the state of man. I just read that one. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. You know, that's kind of a hard saying. Because sometimes we see people who join the church, and then you can tell by their actions that they don't have any faith. And here it says if they don't have faith, they're not fit to be numbered among the people of the church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. just come to church for a place to go. I used to have another little phone that had something to say about that, but I haven't got it anymore. It showed why some different people went to church. And a lot of it wasn't for the worship of God. Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you, that he cannot have faith, hope, save he shall be meek and lowly in heart. If so, his faith and hope is vain. For none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly in heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confess with the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. You know, I could stop at each one of these and talk quite a little while on it, but I think you can understand them if I just go ahead and read them, and I've got quite a little things I want to read before I get to them. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And who is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, you shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. One thing I want you to remember here is that charity is the pure love of God. If we don't have that love of God, we won't have charity. Consequently, as it says here, we are nothing. I told you I wanted to talk some about the love of God and the peace of God, and that is what I wanted to get you to get especially out of this reading, is that charity is the pure love of God, and you've got to have it or you're nothing. I'm going to back up in this same chapter here. Moroni 7. I'm going to read verse 4. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. Showing that our works must be good, for us to have this charity, in this faith that I've just been talking about. Over in 3 Nephi, chapter 6, it talks some more here about their works. Verses 25 through 32, they're kind of small verses. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be to go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, we've read this time and time again. And then we see people all over that we know don't know much about the gospel of Christ, but they all expect to go over there to heaven. And some of them say there's nothing they can do that will keep them from going. But sometimes we read things that make us think, well, there's only going to be a few to go over there. But sometimes that few, in what we could judge a few, some of that's going to be quite a few, because there is, this earth has been going a long time, and we don't know how much longer it's going to go. And if there's a few being saved as it goes along, it's going to get to be quite a number, more than we would call just a few, but here it's written, few, that'd be the trainer. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And showing that their fruits must be good for them to have charity. And if we don't have charity, we don't have the love of God. Consequently, they go hand in hand, the one with the other. And when we put the two of them all together, we must have them, or we cannot be saved. We read pretty near the same thing over in Luke.
Not good, we're not going to speak good things.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Showing that some people call on him, say, Lord, Lord, and still yet they don't do what he says. That, in other words, they don't obey his commandments. And if we don't obey his commandments, where are we? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundations on the rock. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. Now you know, I want to stop right there. We've often heard and read of Christ being the rock on which we should build. And he tells us over in the 2 Nephi that, it's in 3 Nephi, that if we build upon rock, which is Christ, we must be built upon his gospel. And that takes in more than just building upon the name of Christ. Because when you build upon his gospel, it takes in a lot of territory. Because he gave us a lot of commandments, and he left a lot of commandments with his apostles, and gave us commandments before through, shall I say, men of God, that we should stop and take notice of. For if we don't, we're going to miss some of them, and we're going to need all of them. When we get all of them, it's going to be hard enough for us to make the grade. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Showing that we got to build upon the rock, build upon Christ and his gospel, for when the winds come, or some, we'll put it this way, some other doctrine come along, some men teaching another doctrine, it's just like the storm coming, and we won't have substantial base to stand it, and we'll fall. And if we fall, the grape's going to be the ruin of us. Over in Matthew, we can read almost the same thing. I think I'll read it. It makes just a little bit of difference. The 7th chapter. We'll begin with verse 15. And here he tells us to beware of what I'm just speaking of. Somebody coming and teaching a different doctrine. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You and I have both seen men and I don't know for sure whether they thought they was teaching the gospel of Christ or not, or whether they was teaching a part of the gospel of Christ according to their own thoughts. At least I know that in many instances they taught things that would be misleading. And that is what he's speaking of here, for those false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And then it goes on here about the feathers, grapes, and so forth, Same as some of the other readings. Got down to verse 20, it still tells us that by their fruits we shall know them. And sometimes, well, maybe I should tell you the one I've told probably a few times about the one Baptist preacher down there where we lived in Missouri. And he could preach a nice sermon. Tell you a lot of things that was in the scripture. And then he'd tell you, now don't do as I do, but do as I say. Because he himself didn't keep the commandments of Christ like he preached them. His example wasn't very good. That's one reason it says, by their fruits you shall know them. His fruits wasn't in what he said, it's in what he's done. Same as ours are. Our fruits are in what we do, not what we say. I don't know how to put it any more plain or any more blunt. Sometimes I'm a little bit blunt with my talk. I'm going to read to you an old one now, by the 13th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to start the first three. And I want you to take this to yourself and look at yourself. Don't look at me, look at you. And I'll look at me, not you. The 13th chapter spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up. But because they had no depth of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is the parable of the sower. I'm going to drop down now to verse 18. But yet he explains it. It's no use for me to try to explain it and then go ahead and read it. I'll just read it. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choketh the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Showing that this ground speaking of is us. Do we receive the word wholeheartedly so that we can produce 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold? Or do we let the cares of the world choke out the word so that it has no effect for us at all? We lose out what little we did have. Or are we those that receive it on stony ground? It blossoms up and looks good for a while. And then pretty soon we just kind of forget the thing and drift away. We'd be better off maybe if we didn't have it at all. We'd have left the cares of the world, or being unfruitful ground, take away what we did get. Still, maybe I'm going to get wood again. Over in this same chapter here, I'm going to read verses 13 through 15, showing why he spoke to some in parables. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Showing that if we willfully don't hear, if we willfully don't see, we'll not be converted, and the Lord will not hear. It's kind of a hard round sometimes, but nevertheless, it's written there, and I don't think we can find anything, any place that's written that's more, shall I say, to the point, at different times and at all times, and the scriptures that are left here for our guidance. But I mean there to the point, not someplace else. And they all point the way to salvation. Over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, a little bit more there that I want to read. I'm going to start with verse 14 and read about four verses, and then we'll skip some. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. I go on down there, it says, having their understanding darkened, and so forth, from the life of God to the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You that have your book open, then you know what that word is there. Now I want to read verses 31 and 32 just as a kind of little something to help us to look at ourselves. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, if we kept those two verses right there, down to the letter, we'd improve our lives.